So let us again center ourselves where we are. Relax in any way you feel appropriate for you at this moment. Slow your breathing. Feel your heart. If it is appropriate for you, you may place a hand on your heart to help deepen the connection. Consciously feel your breath. Feel your heart. Breathe slowly and deeply, further deepening our connection, further deepening our connection, further deepening our connection. You may call on your own guides and support, the angelic realm, to be with you. Not only the ancestors of the land, but also your ancestors. Those that you know of, and those that you may not remember, but from the lineage of your ancestry. You may call them to be here now with you. Breathe deeply. Breathe slowly. And open and expand your heart even more. Open and expand your heart even more. Feel your vastness, your immenseness, your infinite self, beyond this space, beyond this time, all in a circle, all in the now. You are connected in your I am that I am, in the Eheye Asher Eheye, to all that is. Eheye Asher Eheye. Eheye Asher Eheye. Feel, sense, imagine. Eheye Asher Eheye. Breathe slowly and deeply. And listen to your heart. Let your mind and thoughts rest. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. It is always listening to you. Listen to your heart. It is eternally in love with you. listen to your heart. It is always in love with you. It is your healing center. It is your peace center. It is the center of your beingness, of oneness that connects all that is. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. And as we called upon your ancestors and the ancestors of this land and the multitude of beings that surround us and that have been with us throughout this journey and beyond, we welcome the Kryon entourage for another message beyond the veil.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. It's a sweet place, this. The message is a continuation of the messages we have given so far in this, which is called the Monument Valley Tour. It's message number 6. It's given on February 14 in your year of 2019, which according to your culture and your custom is Love Day. The message today would be no different than any other about love, except that it's more appropriate than ever. So again, dear ones, please allow me, with the blessing of the ancestors in this place, to one more time, for the ears perhaps of those who have not heard it, to reveal some things that we've revealed before, perhaps a little differently, that talks about the majesty of the creative source. Almost every human on the planet, no matter what belief system, knows about the creative source. And as the belief would go, the entire universe was created by one source. Infinitely small you are compared to the universe, and yet infinitely large is the creative source. And if you wanted to put a personality on that source, as often you do as humans, the source is love. Pure love. Nothing but love. As pure as light can be, it is, with no darkness at all. Beautiful, benevolent, compassionate love. And we've said it before, as much love as you can imagine for your friends, your pets, your child, it's 1,000 times what that is. And it's focused, dear ones, on the living portions of the creative source, which is you. Dear ones, there's other life in this galaxy, and it's focused on that as well. The creative source is the source of everything. And there's love imbued in that purity in everything. And the reason I start with this yet again, is to let you know that you, dear ones, have created this veil that you look through to that love. And on this side of the veil, this being where we are right now, this human side, you have duality. And in the duality, there is positive, there is negative, there's light, there's dark, there's all kinds of things which are created by what you call human nature. And it's actually appropriate fair and correct, because this gives you the free choice, because you can see the things that are yin and yang, positive and negative, and you make the choice. But let me tell you something. On the other side of the veil, that creative source, which is so big you can't imagine it, there is no duality there. And there would be those who would say, of course there's no duality there, and they would nod their head. And yes, but really, truly, do you understand this? There's only duality here. And yet, there are so many who will then take the duality that is here in this small little earth where you struggle with a low percentage of light. And you struggle with your duality, and you struggle to improve constantly with free choice. But you take that struggle and you place it upon what you believe is on the other side of the veil. And you have made God then dysfunctional at the core. You've taken this love, pure source, and you've said, well, we are humans, all we know is human nature, therefore everything has to be like us. And then there is an angry God, and one who does not get pleased all the time, and one who would actually torture children. And this is the belief system about that beautiful creative source. And again, I will tell you, you've taken yourselves and pasted it on that which is sacred. Let's speak about where that leads and what happens. Because the next step is the creation then of sin. And if you would then ask those who believe in the sin, what is it? Define sin. It's that which displeases God. Anything that displeases God then is sin. And then if there is sin, there must be forgiveness. Let me tell you something, dear ones. Pure love, at the absolutely purest of love, is unable to be displeased. God does not have a human brain that has pleasure and not pleasure, or judgment or not judgment. Pure love is pure love. It doesn't even enter. It cannot. It's like taking the purest light you could ever imagine and trying to throw mud at it and thinking it'll stick. Like it sticks on you. And yet there are billions on the planet that have put mud on God. Forgiveness, dear ones, in a spiritual world, is almost an industry. I want you to think for a moment. If you took children and wanted to make a test of their free will, and you put them in a dark place where they could barely see, and then they run into walls, and they run into each other, and every time they run into a wall or run into each other, you dock them and call it sin, and you punish them. You take them out, punish them, put them back. Because they ran into a wall because they couldn't see well. That's exactly what you have said God does to you. Not all of you, but billions of you. And this, dear ones, will be part of the shift, a spiritual awakening of logic. God is not human. God would not do that. And yet sin has created forgiveness, an industry. If you don't think it's an industry, even within the spiritual, just look at your history. We sat in a place you would call Italy. And we spoke of a man you would call Francis, in a place you would call Assisi. And the most sacred of leaders at that point in time was the Pope in Italy. And that Pope at that moment was selling forgiveness of sin. Inappropriate to the max, you might say. And Francis, saw it, because Francis was pure and he was filled with the love of the creative source. He wasn't filled with the pompousness of the Pope. The story of Francis is quite amazing. For today he's Saint Francis, and yet he never was a priest. But he was attractive. Like any other master of this planet who is pure, he was attractive because of his purity and his love. And even the priests of the church were attracted to him because of what he believed and said, how he acted, what he did in his life, what he showed people he could be. That was Francis. We've told you before that he bribed the Pope. For he needed money for his enclave. He needed money for his animals. He needed money for his hospital. And so he told the Pope something, because the Pope met with him. He had to, because he was pulling away priests. He was becoming dangerous in his purity. And he said to the Pope, if you'll give me the money for these things, I will then stop being that attractive, because you will then stop selling forgiveness of sin. And that was the agreement. And in the church in Francis of Assisi, there's even a painting that portrays it, although the people who would then guide you through that church won't then identify that painting of that way. In fact, that painting shows Francis of Assisi and the Pope meeting with a scroll of demands from Francis to the Pope. A list, you might say, an agreement, you might say, so the Pope would stop selling sin, forgiveness. The guides will tell you it's a list of Francis' sins. I'm going to tell you it's in a contract. The change to the Pope was, changed the church and made it more pure. That's the kind of an industry forgiveness has become to some. In some ways, it becomes an industry of fear. If you don't have that kind of forgiveness from a God who's going to judge you from that pure love thing, then there's a fear of what might happen to your soul. And these things, dear ones, are not from God. They cannot be from the pure source of light and love, which is not a consciousness of a human. It has come from humans to humans, humanity, systems. The most inappropriate thing that is here today on this planet is fearing the source of light, when all that source wants to do is love you. Love is the message of the day. Earlier today, dear ones, you had a forgiveness exercise, but it had nothing to do with a spiritual forgiveness. It had to do with human to human. And that is the forgiveness I want to speak of. I want to talk about what it means. And perhaps in a way you haven't heard before. I want you to right now relax in the arms of God, whatever that word means to you, just for a moment, and see that precious pure light as I tell you this story. The story is, again, a logic story. More than that, it defines the attributes of your brain. So you'll understand what you're doing when you start to forgive. Coming right from the light, right now, I want to show you this. When each of you were a child, there came a time when you had that moment where you would burn your hand or your arm or your leg with something hot. It happens to every child, because as much as their parents will warn them against heat, there comes a time when you test it. And at that moment when you burn your hand or your finger, as a child, dear ones, even before you can speak. That episode will etch itself into the neurons of your brain, in the synapse of the place and the bundles where memories are kept. The burning of the hand is there all your life. Now, the reason I tell you this, in a moment you'll find out, it's permanent. It would be nice if you could undo it, if you could delete it, but you can't. Your brain is not like the current day computer. There's no delete key. It stays there. It stays there. Now, in the case of burning your hand, it's survival. It stays there because it needs to stay there. So you won't forget it. But that's the way of the brain. But it also happens with something else. Dear ones, it happens with betrayal. It happens with unkindness. It happens with the trauma of experience. It happens with abusive parents to children. All of that etched upon the brain. And the time, perhaps, even when you're an adult, when you have betrayal, when you have these kinds of things, it etches itself in the same place where you burned your hand. And in those places, it stays, and it stays, and you can't undo it. And so today, you went through an exercise where you might have written some of those things down, and it might have been difficult to even write them. Because these are the things you want to forget. Because to remember them brings up all the feelings again, just like burning your hand. And all of those feelings will come to a head, and there will be tears, and there will be uncomfortableness and sorrow. And so most of you stay away from those things, but all of you have them to some degree, more than others for some. And you wrote them down, which was difficult, and you burned them in a significant ceremony to say, they're gone. This is how I see it. They're gone. But I just told you they're not. But your ceremony is telling your brain that they are. Let me tell you what you did today, and anyone else listening, and the parables I've given in the past about what a Lemurian woman would do as she burns the leaf that she has etched on these things into the volcano fire. Because I've even channeled before that this is an appropriate thing to do, as you did today. So let me give you a vision of how you take something in your brain that is forever until your last breath, just like burning your hand, and instead you transform it. Whatever that was that you wrote on the piece of paper, or for those listening who didn't do the exercise, whatever it is that you could think of that is the betrayal or the thing that eats at you at night when you sleep or doesn't let you sleep, the thing that can't forget because it was so awful to you, so uncomfortable, so sorrowful to you, whatever it is, even if it's a memory where you're asking forgiveness of yourself because you keep bringing it up and beating yourself like a little whip with it, it's still there. So I want you to have this vision of what really might be happening in your brain, what you do. And it has to do with the power of compassion and love. In the yin and yang scenario, in the black and white scenario, of all the things that a human being can do, one of the most beautiful things is this. You have a piece of the creative source in you that is multidimensional and goes beyond that which any human being could do by themselves, and it's called the higher self. That higher self, think of this, it's your soul that has one foot on the other side of the veil and one foot here, metaphorically, as it would stand there. It is the conduit, the bridge, the the one that you're always trying to get to. But let me tell you, here is where you can use it. Because that higher self is also like a direct contact, conduit, wire, whatever, to the purest light and love you can imagine. And so let's see if you can vision this because of what you did today with the fire, and you have that pure, bright light like a searing fire, except it's not a destructive fire. It's an encompassing connection that circles the memory with compassion. There it is in your brain, and I want you to see, coming from the other side of the veil, a shell. You can't delete it biologically, but here comes that beautiful shell of compassion that is so beautiful and so loving, and it encircles that memory, that thing that you want to have go away, that you say, I want to forgive that person or those people or myself, whatever that's the encompassing shell of multidimensional light that encompasses and forgives. And it goes right around that memory in your brain so that every single time you go back to that, it's covered with forgiveness, compassion, and love, and you can never get to that hurtful place again. So complete would it be that you could even go in there with a set of tools and you can't get to it. So what you've done is, instead of eliminating it, you've transmuted it, covered it with love. This has to make sense to you. The vision is more accurate than you know. It has to do with complex consciousness, dear ones. And so we've simplified it so that it can be visualized and acted upon and understood. There are those who will tell you that those things that you wrote on the paper are forever. And I'm here to say they're right. But how you treat them and how they work with your consciousness from now on in your life is not forever, and can be transmuted. Psychologists have worked on this for decades. And here it is yet again, in a way I'm presenting. And I'm telling you this, it's permanent. In a linear world, there are so many things that you do over and over and over and over because more is better. In a multidimensional world, once you throw the switch, it's forever. That's much different. There'll be those who tell you how many times you have to count the beads in order for certain things to happen, or how many times you have to say a phrase before God will hear you. I'm telling you this. God knows you so well that if you simply look into the eyes of the Creator, it's gone. One time. That's how powerful you are with yourself. So I want you one more time to envision that burning piece of paper today that you had. And see not only the paper smoldering and going away, but suddenly the connection to the other side of the veil coming in and covering those things, whether it was you who had to forgive yourself or you're forgiving somebody else. Doesn't matter. Whatever memory. There's somebody in the audience needs to hear this because there was the death of a child. And that is something profound, Mom. You're never going to forget that. And it's so sorrowful. You start putting that together where you put that compassion, and then you start having all of these revelations. And the revelation is that the soul of the child is still here smiling and saying, thanks, Mom. I never wanted to etch something in there like that. I want you to listen. Only wanted love. Only wanted love. Only wanted love. The person you're forgiving on the planet, they may or may not still be alive. It's the best they could do in that yin and yang world. It's the best they had. And it wasn't good enough for you. And it etched something in your brain. Today you cover it with that compassion from the source and the light. So you can't get to it anymore. And suddenly you start to breathe easier and saying, it's like I just dropped a big suitcase of lead. That I'm free. It's almost like I can float now. So I don't have to take that anymore. I don't have to bring that around, and I don't have to drag it like an anchor, because you've covered it with compassion. This is as good as it gets, dear ones, for a human being to be balanced. You can't carry these things and call yourself a balanced human being, because you're out of balance. You're always dragging something around. And so this is how it's done. And it shouldn't surprise you on this Valentine's Day that I would yet again tell you about the incredible love that is on the other side of the veil for you. Not anger, not fear. God does not think like a human being. God, the creative source, if you can even say think, has no thoughts except, if you had to say what is a thinking God, it is one who projects, propels, and throws light and love and compassion as best can to you through a dark and dim place that you are slowly creating light within. And that is why we are so excited about the shift, because there'll come a time when that dimness will go away and the veil starts to become thinner. Mark my word, there'll be a day when you look back sometime in human history and you will see all the things that I have mentioned about the projection of the human onto God as a children's story. And you'll know the truth. God is love. And so it is.
As we are centered in the love now, there was a song in a recent event we had in Sedona that we all sang together at that meeting. If you just follow me, you will know how. I come from love. I live in love. I return to love. I am love. I come from love. I live in love. I return to love. I am love. Higher. I come from love. I live in love. I return to love. I am love. I come from love. I live in love. I return to love. I am love.